Rings bell. Hello, manager?
Hello, Ben.
But no, how do you know my name? And who are you running this hotel?
This was ill-advised.
No, it's improvisation. It's what we do.
No, I know that, but we don't do this sort of improvisation.
No, I'm trying to check into the hotel facts and information. Please, can you provide some sort of guide?
Please don't do this.
But also, I would like to order a wake-up call of humour. And laughter and cheer. And ideally, I'd like this delivered as a compilation from a year's worth of programmes where two men find the world quite confusing and upsetting around them, get some vague comfort from lists, top tens, charts, and ridiculous jokes and trivia. Have you got out?
No, I haven't. Go away.
Hello, I'm Ben Baker.
I'm Phil Catchpole.
And this is... Don't Let's Chat. Right, so what is the first most dangerous toy of all time?
Right, the CSI fingerprint examination kit. You could dust things with fingerprint powder, and it turned out the powder had up to 5% asbestos in it. So they found out about it in November 2007, but CBS Consumer Products decided to leave it on the shelves because it was run up to Christmas.
What point did, like, Ian Board Games go, right, can we have a look at this product, please? It said 5% asbestos. Is that a regular amount of asbestos as Monopoly got that? Yeah, it's about, you know. It's like, you know, Game of Life, that's about 45% paraffin.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's fine.
I mean, the safe amount of asbestos is, of course, no asbestos, which most of the children's toys manage to contain. Anyway, move on. The Hannah Montana Pop Star card game. Now,
oh, we were always playing that up.
We were up
community centre.
Yeah, no, the community centre. Mr. T used to bring it in. Yeah. Now, the important thing with any pop star card game, Ben, is that the amount of lead in it remains no more than 40 parts per million. No more than that. You can have up to 40 in your pop star card
game.
Yeah,
that's it. No one's taking that away from you. That's still on the tip.
Now, what you shouldn't do is put 75 times that level into your pop star card game.
What?
I mean, at that point, you have to be...
Where does it even come in?
So you have to be bringing lead into the process and going, just pop that in. Just pop a bit of lead on it. Everyone needs a bit of lead.
Oh, I've got trumps on you. I've got Hannah's radiation poisoning card. It's a shiny.
So Hannah Montana's, the game stayed on the shelves because the lead was found in the vinyl of the cards and not in paint, so it wasn't covered by legislation.
I mean, we all remember the classic Hannah Montana's crippling addiction to lead that she had in every episode. You know, I appreciate it's important, but what is that? Like, if, I don't know, if you were to pick top 10 of any kind of books, what would the subject be?
Well, as you know, Ben, I have a wide variety of interests. But I would say that my key interest these days, Ben, is gravy.
That's it. So here is Amazon's genuine top 10 books about gravy. Or mention gravy in the title.
It's the second one.
Right now! Number one!
Number one. 50 Shades of Gravy.
How did I write that?
No, you didn't. £7.99 in paperback, Ben. Rude recipes for dirty dinner parties. Now.
Don't want to go on them. I don't want to go on them.
Here are some example recipes from the book. Hot beef injections.
No!
Knickerbocker glory holes. That's it. That's the two examples it's given. That's it.
I don't need more than that.
Oh, God. Oh, I want that when I'm eating.
Literally, all you need is, like, I don't know, grey rhymes with gravy and...
I mean, no, it doesn't.
Shut up. I'm going to write recipe.
Sexy sausage and mass.
Good.
Bracket sausage looks a bit like a willy.
Again, hot beef injections, knickerbocker glory holes. That's your two examples. Oh, hang on, I can look inside it. Hang on, let me see. Right, hilarious. So... cocktails, a quick
cocktails.
Oh, no, that's not the joke. That's not the joke. A quick hand shandy.
Is that just a shandy?
I don't know. In the light bite section, hot cock on baps.
That's
and hold
I assume
on.
That's chicken then. That's
hold
just...
on, hold on. Here comes a big shift in tone. Necrophiladelphia cheese sandwiches.
Right,
now.
No. Now. I am not coming to your party. Please do not invite me to anyone at your party.
The Wild Variety Performance! Performance!
So, the royals have had to sit through all these acts. Or should I say, five of these acts. As I'm going to give you 10 acts, and I've med five up. And five really did play the Royal Variety Performance.
Okay.
Number one. Sir John Whoops-a-Lordy Follow-Through, the Funny Fartsman.
That sounds like a Ben Baker creation. Specifically because of Fartsman. That was the tell, I'll be honest with you.
So you are correct, that was a fake. Number two, Mr. Flotsam and Mr. Jetsam.
Oh, I bet that's real.
Miss Flotsam and Mr. Jetsam were an Anglo-Australian musical comedy duo of the 20s and 30s. Their songs included Simon the Bootlegger, the Alsatia the Pekingese, the Spooning of the Knife and Fork, and Is He an Aussie? Which apparently appears in the end credits of The Purge.
Okay.
Not a joke. Three, Evacuating Johnson. He can escape anything.
Oh. I want that one to be real.
It's fake, I'm afraid. But if you are listening to anyone with the surname Johnson and you fancy it evacuating, please do send us £3. You can have that. Number four, the Czechoslovakian State Song and Dance Ensemble.
That's definitely going to be real, isn't it?
In 1968, they played, and that's it. All the information I can find out about them. It sounds a right laugh.
It does.
Five. The cast of West End show, Wilmot, the Gary Wilmot story.
No, that's not real.
Sadly not, although Gary Wilmot himself has appeared 3 times.
Yes. I mean, we all give thanks for Gary Wilmot, but you've gone too far, Ben.
Six, Bob Bromley and his puppets.
That's going to be real, sure.
It is real. American fella came over in 1946. player, apparently he's very well respected. He worked with the Yale Puppeteers, don't you know?
Okay.
Yeah. No, none of you skipped in Community Technical College puppet funny. Number seven. Please don't jump in early.
Okay.
Morecambe and Piss.
You idiot.
Morecambe and Piss.
No, that's not a real thing.
Spell M-O-R-E-C-U-M. They brought it back for the new rude classics.
I feel like I'm putting less effort into this quiz than some of your others.
Here they are now, Markham and Piss.
Idiot.
Eight! The cast of the British Empire.
That'll be real.
Yeah, they did. 1996. Number nine. The Three Bonos.
This is the first tough one. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to say that one's fake.
It's real. They played in 1933. Acrobats.
Oh.
Yes. Three Italian guys, supposedly. And did flips and somersaults and stuff. It sounds like the sort of thing you'd expect, to be honest. But without anyone clicking their fingers and, you know...
Murdering children, yeah.
At number 10, your last one in this Royal Variety performance, Fuck Shittington, the magical defecating goose. Brackets, it truly stinks. Close brackets.
I mean, you're just making work for yourself here with the beeper at this point. I think that one might be first.
The complete dictionary definition opposite of emojis and Fortnite. So Terry and June.
Terry and June, obviously, yeah. There's no question
that's fair enough. Now, I can hear the sigh of relief already around all those people of a certain age listening to this going, oh, thank Christ for that. Oh, God, I thought we were going to do best Shreks or something, you know, like... No.
Okay, this is good. You'll like this one.
Yeah, I'm in.
I have got Ranker.com's top 9 Terry and June cast members. 9.
Okay, yeah. I can think of 3.
I can think of 2, so you're doing better than me.
Well, obviously, we all know who's going to be at number 1. At 1, it's...
One, it's everyone's favourite, Alan Cuthbertson.
Of course, Terry and June's Alan Cuthbertson.
See, you'd think you could guess the top 2, but no, you can't.
No, apparently not, no. No. Alan Cuthbertson, I know him best as one of the diners in Gourmet Night, the Fawlty Towers episode.
Right.
I always played that kind of slightly... pompous, kind of arrogant bloke. I think he was similar in this. I think he's a neighbour.
Right.
In Terry and June, but...
I know him best from, I don't know, Half a Sixpence. There we go. That's where I know him from. I just looked at his Wikipedia.
Was he in
credits.
That?
Yeah, he was. I literally picked something out of his credits at random.
Aaron, I didn't know if you were just going, Half a Sixpence, that'll do.
That is what I was doing, but yeah. Anyway.
Oh, so the number 1 star, according to Ranker.com, of Terry and June...
was neither Terry nor June.
He's not Terry or June. Okay, well, number 2. Come on, number 2.
Number 2 is, yeah, fine. Okay, June Whitfield. There you go.
Oh, well, there you go. Much missed. It's a fascinating career when you look at it, considering that she did have this period for, in our childhood, she was just June. She was... the long-suffering housewife.
Yeah.
Next to a fat man doing Keep Fit.
Ranker gives 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 credits for her and says there is more, so it's good that they've said that there's more. So they've gone with Absolutely Fabulous.
Fair.
Last of the Summer Wine.
I mean, I guess just by the nature of her.
She will have definitely been in it, that's fine. So Bob the Builder. Terry and June.
I'm aware of his work.
Yep, that's fine. I want you to try and guess what the last credit they've gone for. I'll give you a clue. It is something we have talked about on the podcast before.
She wasn't in Transformers the movie, I'm fairly sure.
No, she was not in Transformers the movie.
That would have been brilliant. Juno.
Right.
I don't know.
It's Cluedo. Cluedo is the other credit that they've gone for.
Right, okay. Presumably in our Terry and June chart, number 3. Come on.
That's right, Ben. It's Patsy Smart.
Patsy Smart?
He's not even third, Ben. He's not even third.
Oh, my God. I mean, Patsy Smart is one of those actresses that when you see her, you just see her as old bat in everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, she did. I'm assuming she's dead now.
Let's have a check. Yes, she died in 1996.
I thought you were going to go, right, command, prompt, murder, Patsy Smart. Yeah, she's dead now, Drones have taken care of it.
It's not a facility.
Do you know what Patsy Smart's character was called?
No, it doesn't say here. It doesn't actually say anything about... It lists about 15 of her credits, but it does not say anything about who she was.
Terry, she was called Miss Lavinia Dingle.
Of course she was.
She was only in the last two series.
Right.
Right, come on. Four. No. Here we go. Falling through that sun lounger.
It's Reginald Marsh.
Not even fourth. How has Tom this?
I don't know.
Someone has got a real thing. I mean, I've heard Terry's got a difficult to work with, but bloody hell.
This TV show has two people mentioned in the title. Neither of them are first, and one of them isn't even fourth.
Ian Happily and Joan Everett. No, Reginald Marsh, I do know. That was the other one I was thinking of. It was Sir Dennis. It was the owner of the company Terry worked for.
Oh, was he the one that would come round for dinner? Is that...
Yes, freak, yeah. It was like, ah, Terry, I've decided to ban bum sex from the corporation. And then he goes, okay, come round for dinner. And at that point, of course, Julian's bought the Bum Sex 2000 Ultimate Edition, and it's set up in the living room. And Sir Dennis is... I mean... It sounds like a joke to say those things, but there was a lot of that. Quick, in the cupboard, the vicar's come round with his trousers around his ankles for 29 minutes.
Because everyone's doing keep fit.
Okay, number five. Is it a Terry?
Do you think it is, Ben?
I think number five's a Terry.
It is a Terry, you're right.
It is a Terry, go on.
It's Terence Alexander, Ben. Everyone's favourite, Charlie Hungerford from Bergerac, Terence Alexander.
I was going to say Charlie Hungerford, who was also that Lord character in your best one, Mark of the Rani, from Doctor Who.
Yeah, no, your so Terry Scott's not even fifth. Not even fifth. Let's keep going.
I don't even want to know. I'm like...
Fine. Number six, Ben, is Terry Scott. I'll do that now. He's made it to six.
Genuinely, like, Ragnar, I've gone right here, please... But rate your best Terry and Dunes. And they've voted June 2nd, which is still bad when you think about it.
But, you know, at least it's reflective of her position in the title. Unfortunately, if the readers of Ranker.com had their way, it'd be called Alan and June.
As in fair, it's like after Terry Scott died, why didn't they just carry on as and June? She just keeps walking into rooms and going, oh, yeah, don't forget to not touch that. Oh, yeah, you're dead. Oh, yeah.
They would have called it In Sickness and in June. I want to list his credits. They've gone for...
Please do.
Look, shut up. They've gone for Danger Mouse, all one word.
He was in that, I can confirm. Then
Danger Mouse is two separate words. Then Terry and June, fine.
Then Terry and June. And then Tyr, and then Yand.
Then
Yandu, and then Eddie. This week in 1965, so the Beatles start to film Help in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Bahamas, as you know, is famous for a kind of beetles. The longhorn beetle is native to the Bahama Islands.
We all know this, so, Ben. Only a fool would have to Google such a thing. We all know it.
Yeah, no. So, this week's quiz is...
Yep.
Beetles.
Yep.
Or beetles.
Oh, for God's sake.
I'm going to give you 10 statements, and you tell me if they're about some beetles. Oh, the Beatles.
Right. Do we have to actually do the quiz? Because I think everyone gets it already.
Number one has two sets of wings.
It's a beetle, Ben. It's a beetle.
No, it was Beatles. Sorry. Number two made their first live American television appearance on The Ed Sullivan Show on the 9th of February 1964.
It's the Beatles, Ben.
It was Beatles.
Aww.
Number three... lays dozens or hundreds of eggs.
Beatles, Ben.
Sorry, it was Beatles.
Okay, good, yep.
Inspired Charles Manson to do some murders.
Beatles, Ben.
No, sorry, it's Beatles.
Beatles, yep.
Have been known to eat small birds or mammals.
Beatles, Ben.
No, correct, that was Beatles. And finally released the album The Best of the Beatles.
Beatles, man.
I'm sorry, it's the Beatles. And that concludes Beatles are Beatles.
You let me have 1 point, though. Why did you do that?
That was the. You were correct. Is he going right? What can I say?
The following announcement has been paid for by Globex Incorporated.
Hey, hey! It's your fellow podcaster Eno Gareth Irons here, speaking for my colleague Tom Williamson, representing for Retrospecticus, a Simpsons and History podcast. Principal Baker, Superintendent Catterall, I come bearing a chart. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to do a rundown of that steamiest of memes, the steamed ham scene from 22 short films about Springfield. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll see the Aurora Borealis at this time of year, at this time of day, in this part of the country, localised entirely within Skinner's Kitchen. 10 times!
This message will self-destruct if not properly stored.
So there you go. Our challenge is the 10 most baffling steamed hams memes on YouTube. 10.
10 is steamed hams, but instead of yawning, Skinner sings Great Gig in the Sky by Pink Floyd.
That is what he's doing.
Okay, yeah. There's a mix of these, of stuff that's really high effort and stuff that's really low effort.
Is there a bit more effort gone into number 9?
Quite a lot more. Number 9 is Steamed Hams, but it's Hotline Miami. Wow. Hotline Miami, for those who are not familiar, is a video game based on old 16-bit synth music type stuff.
It's basically if you made the film Drive...
Yeah, kind
into
of.
A game.
But what someone has done is redone the entire scene of the Steamed Hams. It has a section of gameplay where Skinner murders everyone in the Krusty Burger with a gun.
At 8!
At 8, Steamed Hams, but it's a piano dub.
Well, Seymour, I made it, despite your directions.
Superintendent Chalmers, welcome. I hope you're prepared for an unforgettable luncheon.
So someone knows the script that well that they can play notes that sound a bit like what's
but it's
on
a
screen.
Tune. That's the it's
oddly fascinating.
It's like an old cinema where they used to play music over it, but yeah.
Smashing organ work. At 7!
7, this is one of my favourite ones. Steamed Hams, but Skinner dies halfway through.
I can see how that might curtail the scene.
In this one, it gets to the point where Skinner sort of climbs out of his window and runs across the road. He just gets hit by a car and dies. The superintendent sort of comes through the door, sees him, screams, and then wakes up in his bed. It was all a dream.
6.
Steamed Hams, but Chalmers is obsessively investigative.
Which has a title is enough.
Yeah, every sort of question he asks to expose Skinner's lies is like repeated and edited back in again as though he's cutting into stuff that Skinner's saying. It's subtle, but I like it. It's good.
5.
Steamed Hams, but Chalmers is a Blade Runner.
Is that not the story anyway?
Well...
4!
4. Steamed Hams, but it's All-Star. Oh. I hate it. Three. Steamed Hams, but it's the Australian dub.
Get f***ed. You call burgers steamed hams?
Nah, yeah, it's a regional thing, you know?
Yeah, where's that from, mate?
Southeast Queensland?
Yeah, you're telling porkies, mate. I'm from Southport and never heard that in me life.
Yeah, nah, not Southport. It's a Narang thing.
Ah, righto.
Almost lack of effort is almost as funny as lots of effort, isn't it? Number two.
Steamed Hams, but every time Skinner lies, he descends 7% more into the netherworld. What that manifests at is every time Skinner tells a lie, there is like a thunderclap noise and the area around him is tinted more and more red. Until by the end, every section of screen that has him in it is very, very red indeed.
Ah, number one, in association with our pals at Retrospecticus.
Steamed hams, except everything goes extremely well. So the oven doesn't catch fire. He decides to go and get the hamburgers anyway. Superintendent Chalmers really enjoys the hamburgers and promotes him to assistant superintendent. that's basically it.
Yeah.
Well, Seymour, I made it. With your excellent directions.
Ah, Superintendent Chalmers, welcome. My roast is mouth-watering. But what if I were to cook hamburgers?
Number two!
Number two, Gravy Cookbook, a gravy cookbook with easy gravy recipes. £6.99, Ben. £7 worth of gravy recipes.
I don't know, you have a gravy recipe, it's a thing, and then you add gravy.
But importantly, the description for this item starts with, in massive letters, gravy changes everything, which, I mean, it's accurate.
Michael Ball's finest moment. Number three.
Number three is a notebook. Gravy nutrition facts, gift funny Thanksgiving costume journal / notebook, blank lined ruled 6x9, 100 pages. It's just a notebook that has some gravy facts on the cover.
For the gravy fan in your life.
It's, you know, it's literally just like the nutritional values for gravy.
And I would love to see the face of anyone who's bought that for Christmas this year.
Okay, well, you better bring a mirror round, because there's no way you're not getting that now.
Four.
Introduction to gravies and sauces. Add taste to your meals.
Hello. Welcome.
Add taste to your meals, Ben. Your meals didn't taste of anything before, but now you know about gravy. So I'm just going to see what other books are by the same author. I'm really glad I did. A Beginner's Guide to Cacti. My First Book About Ducks. The Magic of Coriander for Cooking and Health. Knowing the Value of Green Manure. Komodo Dragons for Kids, Ben. Learn How to Paint with Airbrush for Beginners. This guy has a wide variety of interests.
I could say, he is a WikiHow on legs.
Yeah. Sloths for Kids.
No, yeah.
1-800 Sloths for Kids.
Five.
Right. Okay. Hold on. I need a deep breath.
Oh, God.
Hello! Exclamation mark. 50 Michigan recipes, : best Michigan cookbook ever for beginners. Brackets, sourdough cookbook, sauces and gravies cookbook, cabbage cookbook, jalapeno cookbook, sourdough bread cookbook. Brackets, book one.
Well, you don't want to start a book two and not be able to follow the plot, obviously, you know. Six.
Deep breath again. Hello, 1, 2, 3 gravy recipes, best gravy cookbook ever for beginners, brackets, gravy recipe book, best sauces cookbook, Thanksgiving gravy book, best hot sauce recipe book, gravy book, brackets, book one. Now, Ben, I want you to look at this one as well. Who's the author?
Mr. Side Dish!
No, Ms. Side Dish, Ben.
Oh, Ms. Side Dish! It's on such a wanky font on the front, I couldn't even tell.
Now, when you click and look at Ms. Side Dish's books, it's very clear that this is exactly the same author, because all the covers are the same, the books all start with hello! Exclamation mark. Now, I'm willing to bet that these are all the same recipes from the USA ones in a different order. And if so, I absolutely salute the person doing this for finding a way to recycle this content.
I mean, why am I struggling writing actual books about stuff
because
when I could be...
You don't have 77 pesto recipes, Ben. You don't have 50 applesauce recipes. Have you got 123 barbecue sauce recipes, Ben? You haven't. You haven't.
No, I don't.
185 soy sauce recipes, Ben. 185.
It's not gravy.
It's not.
Because it's a sauce, don't make it a gravy. That sounds like a country song, doesn't it?
175 tomato pasta sauce recipes. 175.
There's no. It's pasta and sauce.
We've gone off on a tangent, Ben. There isn't time, because we're only doing the top 10, to talk about the next two, which are It's Only Gravy, 30 Delicious Recipes, Gravy and Gratitude, which is a romance novel, or, appallingly, Baby Gravy.
Oh, no! Oh, God, I assume that's a romance sexy novel.
Yes, well, I mean, it's got a picture of a muscly torso holding a gravy boat, so I'm assuming so, but it doesn't. I can't see what's in the gravy boat. That's...
And a little bit of gravy coming out the end. Funny for crying out loud. who was your best president out of all the presidents?
Out of all the presidents?
Yeah.
Ooh. I would say it's probably one of the Roosevelts, to be honest. That would be one of the best ones. Probably one of the Roosevelts. To narrow it down to two.
Yeah, I ain't got that. I got that. I've got 10 facts about Richard Nixon, who died on this day in 1994.
Okay.
And as a bit of fun, it's a quiz section of the podcast. I've changed one of the words in each of these facts. You have to tell me which word I've changed and what the actual word should be. So, okay. For example, if I said Richard Nixon was a Quaker.
Is it Quaker?
It was Quaker. Yeah. It's clever. It's clever like that.
No, it's good.
Right. Number one. Richard Nixon, when he was younger, wanted to join Fully Booked Interactive.
Is it the FBI, Ben?
It is the FBI.
Even Richard Nixon would not want to work with Vernon Kay.
Correct. Number two, in 1960, Nixon ran for a Twix and lost to JFK.
Is it president instead of Twix?
Which word have I replaced?
Is it Twix?
Well done. It was that. Well done. Three, after losing the election for California Dreams in 1962, Nixon moved to New York.
Right, instead of Dreams, is it Governor, Ben?
He's governor, although I wish he had been joining the early 90s Saved by the Bell knockoff boy girl group, Surf Dudes. Four! In 1968, Nixon earned the nomination for president and beat Vice President Jake Humphrey to win the election.
It is Jake Humphrey, but I can't remember who was Vice President. Was it Gerald Ford? No, it wasn't Gerald Ford. It was LBJ, wasn't it?
Yeah, Hubert Humphrey, well done.
Oh, okay.
Number five. Nixon welcomed home the Queen's Park Rangers starting 11 astronauts after their historic 1969 moon landing.
Now, is it Queen's Park Rangers starting that should be replaced with Apollo?
I don't know if you spotted that ruse correct. Well done. He had a Kirstie Alley installed under the White House. I know it's tricky. It could be any of them words. Could be any of them.
Yeah. It's not Kirstie Alley. It should be George Wendt.
Correct. We lose. It was, of course, Kirstie Alley's less popular sister.
Bowling.
In 1974, Nixon resigned from the presidency due to the events surrounding Waterworld.
Look, it made its money back, Ben. It was a financial success. I refuse to answer this question. I will not have Waterworld impugned in this way.
Eight. Nixon wrote 10 bestsellers on domestos and international affairs. Oh, I love that you're taking this quiz seriously. Very important tribute to our glorious goose.
It wasn't domestos, it was domestic.
It was domestic.
Thank you.
On December 21st, 1970, Nixon greeted one of the more colourful characters to ever enter the White House, the singer Butts Carlton.
I can't breathe. This is the stupidest quiz you've ever done, and why am I still laughing at it?
I'm going to have to rush you for an answer.
Well, I mean...
It's one of the singers, you know, the singers. You've seen them.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's not Butts. That's the problem. It's not Butts.
I mean, it's neither of those words.
No, I give up.
He's Elvis Presley.
Of course it was.
Very much the Butts Carlton of his generation.
Well, no, because he existed.
And finally, please listen carefully to this one. This is a very, very difficult one.
Right.
In office, Nixon was determined to achieve peace with honour and end the war in your mum's bum.
You fucking dickhead.
That concludes the Nixon Best Quiz. R.I.P.
I'm in pain.
Ding ding, service. Hello, I'd like to check out from this podcast compilation of highlights of bits from Don't Let's Chart from the previous year.
Yes, certainly, sir. Let me just check. Ah, I see that you have soiled everything in your podcast.
Soiled it? I only just mined it. New York humor there. That's in this improv. The hotel is in New York. Forgot to mention. So, if you're a first-time listener, one, sorry, and two, hopefully we enjoyed that compilation of stuff, and fancy joining us every fortnight here on Don't Let's Chat. And if you want to do that, just go into your podcatcher of choice, banging Don't Let's Chat with Ben and Phil. And on the alternate fortnights, if you want even more of this nonsense, there's Don't Let's Chat Nights, our sister show, in which me and Phil talk about something in a slightly longer, you know, less...
less structured.
Structured, that's the word.
Yeah.
Hey, it's a lot of fun.
There's also bonus content up on there as well that is...
Yeah, lots of extra stuff, which patrons get for just, what is it, like, it's about $2.70 a month. It's something like that.
Something
it's
like
ridiculous.
That.
We are ridiculous. Or if you just want to tell people, we're at Don't Let's Chat on Twitter. We really do appreciate when people just say kind things. Share it around because we've got a very minimal promotional system, which seems to be, I pretend I'm in a hotel and Phil just questions me for a minute and a half.
That's basically it, yeah. That's
yeah.
I mean, for anyone that hasn't listened to the rest of the episodes, that's definitely how they all start. Every single one.
Yeah. Yes, ding ding, hello, I'd like to check in for humour and comedy. Until next time we meet, I have been a gravy beetle.
And I have been Alan Cuthbertson.
We wish I miss him greatly. Good gravy!
Bye!
Bye.
Here they are.